Hey everyone, husband here.
And I'm wife. If you've been listening to us, then you know we're all about reading the Bible and reacting to it on our first read-through. Cuss words, crying, laughing, and more.
We're passionate about creating a podcast that takes the sanctity out of the sacred text and simply stating it as we see it.
But we can't do it without your help. We're asking for your support to help us keep this podcast going.
There are two ways you can donate.
Text SACDIS, that's SACDIS, to 533-555 if you're in the U.S. with a one-time donation. Any amount helps.
Or if you'd rather start a sustaining membership, sign up on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Membership levels start as low as $2 a month.
We are amazed and grateful for our fans that support us now, and you can become one too.
With your support, we can keep Sacrilegious Discourse alive and well for years to come.
So please donate today.
Text SACDIS to 533-555 if you're in the U.S.
Or sign up for our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
I'm husband.
And I'm wife.
Together, we're reading the Bible for the very first time.
We grew up without religion and wanted to know what all the fuss was about.
Well, what have we learned so far?
That God is a dick, and apparently some people believe in talking donkeys.
We're not trying to pass ourselves off as experts.
Nope, we're just reading the Bible for the first time and giving our first take reaction.
If you'd like to join us in this venture, you might consider starting at episode 1.
Otherwise, jump in wherever you like.
All right, let's go read the Bible.
Yeah, let's get to it. Husband!
Wife!
What are we doing today?
We are doing a late episode that's on a Sunday, which would make it our...
Sacrilegious Book Club!
Right, right. So what are we going over today?
So we are in the big book called A Treasury of Jewish Folklore, Stories, Traditions, Legends, Humor, Wisdom, and Folk Songs of the Jewish People, edited by Nathan Ozubel.
Okay.
And part one was Jewish Salt. Part two was Heroes. We are in part three, The Human Comedy. Last time, we're still in chapter one, Droll Characters. Last time we learned about schnorrers and beggars, and
yes,
that was kind of fun.
Right.
And this time we are going to learn about wags and wits.
Wags and wits, huh?
One character of which is Herschel Ostropolier.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
And that's where
I don't know
today.
What significance that has, but okay.
Well, he's just a guy.
Just a guy?
He's a jester.
Jester. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into this.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, so we are on page 286.
Okay.
We are starting Wags and Wits.
Got it.
Okay.
Yep.
And this one isn't as funny as last time's, because it's not as clever, I think.
So maybe it should be called Wags and Witless?
Kind of. Like, some of the stories here, let me give you an example off the top of my head. It would be like if I came to you and I said, hey, I like hamburgers, but I don't like pickles on them. And then you say, why don't you like pickles on them? And then I say, because it's a cruel thing to do to a cucumber.
Ha.
It's like that. You
got
know
it.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, but it's presented as very like tongue in cheek and get it? Mm. And I'm like, yes.
I can get it, but it's dumb.
Yeah. It's not even a dad joke. Like, dad jokes make you groan, but also kind of go.
There's this phase that kids go through when they're like, I don't know, maybe 4 to 5. I don't remember exactly what age it is exactly. But, like, it's their knock-knock phase.
It's ages 4 through 8.
4 through 8. Okay. And we call it the knock-knock phase. And they learn about knock-knock jokes somewhat, sort of, kind of.
So.
And then they make up all these horrible, I mean, absolutely horrible.
Here, let's do one. Ready? Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Hamburger.
Hamburger who?
Hamburger, 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 hamburger.
Yes. That is an example of.
And the first couple is like, oh, you're cute. You don't understand how jokes work.
Right. But then it keeps going.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, God, when does this end?
Yeah. And it's a whole phase.
Yeah.
And then. Between the ages of, say, 8 and 12,
uh-huh.
You get the what I call monotone excitement phase.
Right.
And that's, like, with our son, it was Dragon Ball Z.
Mm-hmm.
And it's where he would stand very still, and he would say it in a monotone, and he would be like, and then he does this, and the character does a flip, and then his hair does that.
And you just can't possibly
and, like,
pay attention.
No, you can't, because it's so fucking boring.
Right. Right.
And, I mean, God bless the children, right?
Like, yeah.
I love my son, but really, like, that voice. And, you know, the kid that you guys all know and love, who has been on this podcast a few times, did the same goddamn thing, but it was with, like, Wings of Fire, a dragon series.
And maybe Minecraft.
And Minecraft, yeah. And it's just, and then this happened, and then that happened, and you have to hold the key down to do this, and it's an X, but not this X, and not that X. And it's like, oh my God. And there's like zero excitement in this voice, and it's just like delivering the most boring, dull report to you.
Yeah.
And it can go on for like 20 minutes.
But you got to be interested. You got to show interest, yeah. Because they're showing interest.
Yes.
And they want to tell you.
And you need to be like thrilled that they are telling you a thing that they are interested in.
Yeah.
So the whole time that you're forgetting to pay attention, you're going, uh-huh, uh-huh.
Oh,
wow.
And
then when they pause, yeah. Oh, wow. And then when they pause, you're like, and then what?
And you're like, please let it be over.
And at some point, you just have to be honest and be like, oh, honey, I'm so sorry, but I forgot to pay attention just then. And what you mean to say is, can you skip to the end? But what they heard was, oh, I need to start all over. And, you know, best parent in the world gets an award for sitting through that shit.
I did. I sat through a lot of that shit.
We both did.
Yeah.
So that's why we're the best parents in the world.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyways.
Right.
Back to this book. Mm-hmm. And the not so good jokes.
Right.
Okay. So Wags and Wits, an introduction, and I'm just going to read the first couple sentences here.
Okay.
Like every other people, the Jews were mirthfully entertained by their wits and wags, pranksters and scalawags.
Scalawags. I like that word.
I love pranksters and scalawags. It was a normal expression of folk life. There were a great number of such droll characters among Jews.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay.
And then they go on to name several that I'm like, okay.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. And one of them that they name, though, they tell a little bit of history about. And his name is, what is that guy's name?
I don't know.
Herschel Ostra something or other. Okay.
Okay.
I'll get there in a minute. Ostrapalier or something like that.
Yeah.
And he became a jester, and he was just so hard on his luck that when the job was offered to him, he was, like, just happy to have any job at all, because his wife and children were, like, basically starving, and they never had food for their Sabbath meal and all that stuff.
Right.
So it was just a bad thing. But the guy that hired him was just like this vain, self-indulgent, dumb guy that was like the big boss rabbi.
Okay.
And so he would like in present with other people, he would put on this face of grandiosity and like beneficence. Mm-hmm. But then in private, he would like be cruel to the jester, but the jester always had the last laugh.
Got it.
And so some of these we will get to. Herschel did this and Herschel did that. And that's why I'm mentioning him, because he is actually a character that appears in multiple of these tales.
Okay.
And one more thing that I want to say is that all of these tales have been attributed not just to him, but to multiple others. They kind of overlap. So there really is no telling, you know, who these are about.
Got
it. So it's like fill in the blank generic name. But a lot of times we get his name.
Got it.
Okay. So the first story is like 500 pages long. And I'm not going to lie, I didn't even read that one because I was like, it was too long.
Okay.
It starts on page 287 and goes on to end on page 299. And it's just.
There's no way we were reading it for the podcast.
Yeah, I wasn't going to read it. I didn't want to sum it up because I'm already summing up other things. And there's a bunch of other short little ditties
right,
in here
right.
that I did read.
Okay.
So on page 299, there's this one called The Jew and the Caliph. Am I saying that right? Caliph. C-A-L-I-F.
As far as Caliph? I know, I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to say Caliph. Okay, once there was a Caliph of Arabia who hated Jews, so he issued the following decree. Every Jew who enters my kingdom must be halted by the guards and ordered to tell something about himself. If he lies, he is to be shot. If he tells the truth, he is to be hanged.
Jesus.
By this stratagem, the Caliph hoped to exterminate all the Jews in Arabia.
Why don't you just shoot them all? I mean, like, then you don't have to ask them anything. You save some time.
I think that...
That's a ridiculous thing.
Like what we say today about the Republicans, the cruelty is the point.
Okay.
You know?
Right, yeah.
Like, give them a chance to think that there's hope for them.
Okay.
Because you don't really care about the answer.
Right.
You're going to kill them regardless.
I guess.
One day a Jew came. When the Caliph's servants commanded him to tell something about himself, he said, "I'm going to be shot today." The guards were confused by his words, so they brought the matter to their royal master's attention. Cogitated the wily Caliph, "This is indeed a difficult matter. If I were to shoot the Jew, it would imply that he told the truth. But in that case, the law is that he should be hanged, so I cannot shoot him. On the other hand, if I had him hanged, it would imply that he told a lie. And for that, the law provides shooting, so I cannot hang him." And so they let the Jew go. And that reminds me of something that we got into last week, which was that paradox.
Right.
It reminds me of this scene in the movie Labyrinth where the girl has to choose which door she should go through. And one always tells the truth and one always lies. And it's this whole riddle thing and she figures it out. But like, I can never follow. It's too hard for me. Okay, the next one is on the same page, 299, and it's called When a Scholar Takes to Drink. "A Talmudic scholar, a Seuss? Unheard of thing! Yet there was such a scholar. Once a friend rebuked him. Don't you know that our sages condemned drunkenness?" "Do you need to tell me that?" retorted the scholar. "Of course I know. I'm not drinking to get drunk, but to drown my sorrows." "Have you succeeded in drowning them?" the friend asked. "No, I'm afraid not," the scholar answered grimly. "You see, my sorrows are very spiteful. The more I drink, the better swimmers they become." So that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one also starts on 299, and it's called Drinking Logic.
Okay.
An old Jew was arrested for drunkenness and taken before a magistrate. The magistrate was taken aback. "How," he asked sympathetically, "did this happen?" "Nothing happened," answered the prisoner. "I'm not drunk at all." "Now see here, uncle," said the judge. "It is perfectly obvious that something happened to put you in this state. Come, tell me in your own words." "It is really very simple," began the old man. I took one drink. There are many biblical authorities for such conduct. One drink anyone may take. Now, this drink made me a new man. Naturally, the new man was entitled to a drink. So he had a drink. Then we were two. As all the world knows, when two Jews get together, it is permissible for them to have a drink. By this time, we were joyous. And on a joyous occasion, one must drink. I was like, okay.
I did like that one.
Yeah. Okay, so skipping ahead to page 302, we have the four-sided traveler. The traveler has come.
Okay.
That's a line from Ghostbusters.
Oh, oh. You know. I should have guessed. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Gozer, the Gozerian, says it. Yeah. Okay. The four-sided traveler. A weary traveler alone. Oh, wait. That's not what I wanted to tell. Never mind. I'm not telling
Never mind.
That
we're
one.
Not doing that one.
Nope. No. Nope. Sorry.
Skip that one.
I didn't put a star rewind. Next to it. Yep. Rewind. You could even cut that out if you want.
Nah.
Okay, so, but on page 302 is dramatic criticism.
Okay.
I did put a star next to that one.
Got it.
Mrs. Goldstein could never induce her husband to enter a theater. He had an excuse always for staying home or for joining his cronies at Gin Rummy or Pinnacle. But at last, Mrs. Goldstein's patience was exhausted. This time, she proclaimed, "You go with me or I'll give you a reason to regret it." So, Mr. Goldstein permitted himself to be dragged to the drama. He squirmed and fidgeted through the evening while his wife responded appropriately to the play. "What do you say now?" she asked triumphantly when the lights went up. "It stinks," was the laconic reply. "What do you mean it stinks?" she asked. "I'll tell you," said Mr. Goldstein, disgust finally breaking through his restraint. "In the theater, it's always the same, a man and a woman. Now when he wants, she doesn't want. And when she wants, he doesn't want. And when they both want, down comes the curtain." I thought that was cute.
Yeah.
Cute. Okay. So now we're getting into the Herschel Astropalier.
Okay.
I'm just going to call him Herschel.
Yeah.
Okay. We're getting into all his stories, okay?
Yep.
So he's a wit and a wag and a skella. Wag and a prankster or whatever.
Got it.
He's the jester.
Sure.
Okay?
Yep.
So, on page 306, we have Herschel's revenge on the women. As soon as Herschel Astropalier went to serve Rabbi Boric, as his jester, he met with a hostile stare from the rabbi's wife. She found all sorts of petty pretexts to abuse him. Once, when he tried to defend himself, she turned her back on him insultingly and shut him up with the retort, "Your excuses are making me deaf. You're raising such a racket with them." Mm. Herschel smarted under the abuse and lay low. Someday, he vowed, he'd avenge the insult. Sometime soon after, the rabbi's wife said to Herschel, "Send your wife to me. It's high time we got to know each other." "With pleasure," answered Herschel eagerly. "She'll regard it as a very great honor, believe me. But I must warn you, may it not happen to a dog. She's deaf as a wall. If you want her to hear you, you've got to shout." I understand, the rabbi's wife assured him commiseratingly. "Never fear, I'll manage. Just have her come to see me." When Herschel came home, he said to his wife, that illustrious shrew, "The rabbi's wife told me she would like to get acquainted with you, but I've got to warn you betimes, she's stone deaf. If you want her to hear you, you've got to shout." "I understand," said Herschel's wife knowingly, and went to see the rabbi's wife. When the two women met, they both began to shout and scream at each other ever louder and louder. Their cries even reached into the rabbi's study where he was closeted with his disciples. Frightened out of his wits, the rabbi dashed into the wife's room, the disciples close at his heels. What the rabbi saw was something he never forgot. Both women were at the point of collapse. Their voices were hoarse, and their cries sounded more like croaks. "What is the meaning of this?" cried the rabbi in astonishment. "Why are you shouting this way?" "Herschel's wife is deaf," gasped his wife. "I had to yell so she could hear me." "And why do you shout?" asked the rabbi of Herschel's wife. "What else should I do? Your wife is stone deaf," croaked Herschel's wife, her tongue hanging out. My wife's stone deaf. You're crazy, woman, cried the rabbi, beside himself with rage. Who told you that? Why, Herschel did. All this while, Herschel stood near the rabbi, enjoying himself tremendously. Impudent fellow, roared the rabbi. Explain yourself instantly. What kind of a prank is this anyway? I am innocent, rabbi, pleaded Herschel. All right, so it's my fault, said the rabbi sarcastically. Blame your wife, rabbi, urged Herschel. The other day, she was angry at me for some reason. I was entirely innocent. Then, addressing the rabbi's wife, Herschel continued, Do you remember that when I tried to explain, you turned your back on me and said, You're raising such a racket with your excuses, you're making me deaf. Well, what did you expect? I shouldn't believe you? Why should I have doubted you? Also, was it wrong of me to give due warning to my wife? If she spoke in a low voice, you wouldn't have heard a thing. Besides, wouldn't it have been highly inconsiderate of her to do so? But why did you tell me your wife was deaf? Rasped the rabbi's wife in a hoarse voice. What a foolish question, retorted Herschel. Imagine if, after only a few months, I made you deaf with my excuses. How deaf do you think I've made my wife after being married 20 years to her? Don't either of you say I didn't warn you. That's cute, right?
Yeah.
All right. So this one starts on page 307, and it's called How Herschel Almost Became a Bigamist.
Mm.
Herschel's wife was nagging him to death. You're a ne'er-do-well, she cried. You're a schlamazel and a fool. Only you think you're smart. If you didn't speak so impudently to the rabbi and to the gabbai and to all the rich men of the town, we wouldn't be so badly off. When Herschel heard this, he grew angry. You're a nice one to preach at me, he said bitterly. Why, you've caused me more trouble than if you were 10 good-for-nothing relatives. What on earth are you jabbering about? Asked his wife. Listen to this story and you'll know, began Herschel. Years ago, when I was still young and handsome, shortly after we had married, I was making a journey on foot. I never was more tired and hungry than I was that day. On the way, I met another poor traveler. Uncle, I asked him, do you know if there's a Jewish settlement nearby where some kind-hearted person will take pity on a foot-sore traveler and give him something to eat and a place to sleep? Indeed I do, replied the man. Not far from here lives a Jewish tenant farmer. He is stuffed with money like a Passover goose, but he won't give a poor man a teaspoonful of water. The only person welcome in his house is a marriage broker, because his daughter is an ugly old maid, and he would like to see her married at all costs. When I heard this, I went to call on the miser. I introduced myself not as a marriage broker, but as a virtuous young man in search of a bride. Would you believe it, after being wined and dined in his house for several days, he proposed that I become his son-in-law. To make a long story short, I consented. You miserable wretch, interrupted Herschel's wife. How could you have done a wicked thing like that with me being your wife then? Easy, easy, cautioned Herschel. Just listen patiently to the end of my story. A day was fixed for the wedding to take place in several weeks. In the meantime, I lived in luxury, tasted everything from honey to vinegar. And when the wedding day arrived, there was nothing left to do but to break down and tell the truth. So I said to my bride's father, Listen, father dear, since today is my wedding day, it is my duty to tell you everything about my family, so that later on you shouldn't have any grievances against me. I'm listening, he said. I have a brother, I began, and he is an immoral fellow. What difference does it make? He answered cold-bloodedly. My sister-in-law is unfaithful to her husband. If your brother doesn't bother me, why should your sister-in-law? I have two good-for-nothing uncles. That should be my biggest worry. I have a sister and she has an illegitimate child.
Mm.
What? An illegitimate child? Bad, bad, but, you know, what can we do about that?
Right.
I assure you that in my family there are drunks, card players, and libertines without number. At this, my bride's father broke into a smile. What has that got to do with you? He asked. All we have to do is to take out the cow and burn the barn. I saw I was in a desperate position, so I finally said, But father, dear, I have a wife. When he heard this, he became livid with rage. He seized me by the scruff of my neck and threw me out. I ask you, say yourself, doesn't that prove that you are worse than all the 10 good-for-nothings in my family rolled in one? That's pretty good, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. On page 313, what Herschel's father did.
Okay.
Once Herschel stopped at an inn to spend the night. There were no other guests at the time. The innkeeper was away, and only his wife was there to receive Herschel. I'm half dead with hunger, Herschel told her. Do give me something to eat. Looking at his shabby clothes, the woman thought to herself, this man is a tramp. Why take a chance and feed him? I'm very sorry, my good man, but there isn't a drop of food in the house. What? No food, cried Herschel, jumping up. For a moment, he stood deep in thought. Then he muttered, in that case, I'm afraid I'll have to do just what my father did. When the innkeeper's wife heard this, she grew alarmed. What did your father do? She asked, all a tremble. Never mind, my father did what he did, said Herschel ominously. What in heaven's name could this man's father have done? The innkeeper's wife wondered. It's a bad business, me all alone with him in the house. Who can tell? His father may have been a murderer, and if he threatens to do what his father did, good God! Without a word, she set the table and served Herschel all manner of good things. Herschel was so hungry, he ate like a wolf. When he had finished, he smacked his lips and said, I haven't eaten such a good dinner since Passover. Seeing that the stranger was in a good mood, the woman asked timidly, be so good and tell me, what was it that your father did? Oh, my father, replied Herschel innocently. Whenever my father didn't have any supper, he went to bed without it. Tell me that's not fun. Oh, I think that is it. Yes,
that is it.
That is it.
I thought they were pretty funny.
Well, I read you the good ones.
Okay.
I read you the best of the best.
Fair enough. I mean, I was you know,
entertained.
I was entertained. Yeah. I didn't have a lot to say, honestly. I mean, I didn't have hardly anything to say.
Yeah.
Normally, I have a few things to say.
Yeah.
But not today.
No, these were fun.
Yeah. No, they were. That's really all I got. Those were pretty fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was our book club for today.
Sacrilegious book club.
And we will be back tomorrow with our
Psalms wrap up.
Yep. And then the day after that, we will have our
Psalms contradictions.
And then we're going to have a special episode by OK Atheists on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday and Friday are kind of yet to be determined, but it's, I think, going to be like a replay of an old episode, and then maybe a Patreon that you guys, if you aren't a patron, has never heard.
It'll be a release
from a while back
of a Patreon episode to the public.
Yeah. So hang in there. We're taking our week off, sort of, kind of.
Yeah.
And then we'll be back the week after with our regular episodes, which will start in on
the Book of Proverbs.
Yeah, Proverbs. All right. We'll see you guys then.
Yep. Bye.
Hey, wife, I guess that's the end?
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.